All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy, for all that you do for us. We thank you for your watch and care over us. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness, Father. And we just ask you to help us to be faithful to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your words. Again, we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the second letter of John. John 2. Morning. I want to been asked to explain a little about the church and what we believe about it, what the church is, and I want to basically what makes up the teachings of the church, and what do we, you know, there's all kinds of different churches. We've all been to all kinds of churches, and they believe some people have their doctrines all figured out. Some people have their rules all figured out, and it's kind of confusing. You know, we grew up in churches that were just all about grace, and if you just said a prayer one time and you were saved, and then you were just part of the church. And we've been on a journey just trying to unravel what is the church, and what is it all about? And I just want to read here a little bit, and then we'll talk about some things. But main thing is what we're trying to do is just, what is the church? Who is the church? And let's just begin reading his. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth. For the sake of the truth which abides in us, and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you in a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. The children of your closest sister greet you. Here's John writing a letter to another church and giving greetings and blessings to that church and praising them that are walking in truth. In verse 9 or verse 8 it says, watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. One of the primary things that we've come to understand and stressed in being a part of the church is that a Christian is not just someone who's forgiven. You know, we've heard that. We've seen those bumper stickers. That's not what makes a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has actually heard Jesus' teachings and follows them. We've all been taught that, you know, the verse that whosoever believes in him shall be saved. And so we hear many people say that Jesus is their Lord, and they say because they're able to say that, that makes them a Christian, just because they say those words. And a majority of people who profess Christianity would all acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh, that Jesus, well, became a man, that God came down to dwell with man. And they would acknowledge or say that because they believe that fact, that that is what makes them a Christian, makes a Christian. But we know that the Bible says that the devils believe and they tremble. And so whenever we look at what Jesus said and in his teachings, we see that he says that he that hears these sayings of mine and does them, he it is who loves me. He it is who does the will of the Father. That's who he calls his brother and his sister. It's not just someone who says that, recognizing that he is God, but it's someone who actually puts into practice these teachings. And that's what we've come to understand. Like this verse says, the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. It's not just abiding in doctrines. It's not just abiding in theology, but someone abiding in the teachings that Christ came to give us and has brought to us. The majority of people that have any amount of sincerity in Christianity, in following Christianity, would acknowledge that the Bible is something. Many creeds say that we believe the Bible, that it's our guide and our example of our faith and practice. And almost every creed says something to that effect. But very few people, whenever you show them what the Bible says, will accept that as something that they need to be doing to be a Christian. They give you the verses that, you know, by grace you're saved. It has nothing to do with our response or our what we're doing has nothing to do with whether we're Christian or not. We just believe that Jesus died and it's all by grace and everything's just washed over and we can do however we want. But Jesus makes it very clear that he that does these sayings of mine is his disciples. And the one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And we can break these teachings down and see that the basic teachings of Christ, following Jesus, not laying up riches on this earth, divorce and remarriage, that he doesn't accept that. The didn't write them all down, but loving your neighbor as yourself, not resisting evil, turning the cheek with others. Just some of the basic teachings. There's just a few of them there in the Sermon on the Mount that it talks about as being something that we should hear. There's many people that can look at them and check them off and say, yeah, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, or I'm doing this, or I'm not doing that. But it takes more than that. We have to hear them to let them apply to us. Many of us have been brought up in religious families where we're taught to live within this basic element of these teachings, and we can just glide through living in there and it doesn't affect us at all. It's just we're living the way we were taught to live. And so we can live within this thing. And so, whenever we look at the Bible and just say, yeah, I go along with all of that, there's more to it than that. There's an actually hearing it and putting it into practice. That's where it comes whenever he's talking about those that abide in the truth. That's where that comes into play. You know, one of the questions we have is, you know, people come to us. They come to church and they're not doing everything that we're doing. They're not putting into practice all of these things that we're doing. We say we believe the New Testament. One of the teachings in the New Testament teaches the women should dress modestly. And it teaches about the covering. It teaches several things. Not to be adorned with gold and silver and precious things. And just to live modest and simple lives. And whenever we begin to, and we put that into practice. So someone comes into us, comes to visit, you know, they like what they see or they like what they hear. And we have some fellowship together. And so we begin to present some of the things that the Bible says, and they reject them. They don't want to do them. And so, a person that is abiding in the truth, when they hear something true, they will change. I just remember as we were coming out, just trying to understand this, we picked up a Bible and began to follow it and begin to put it into practice and didn't have a clue of a lot of the things that it said. We just knew it was the Bible. It was what we were supposed to be doing. And so when we began to read it and we read things and say, well, it says not to do this. Why does it say that? And no one is doing it. Why does it teach women to be silent in the church? And you have women stand up and be preachers or just have no problem voicing their opinion in business meetings or something. And you read it right there and it says it and you mention, well, wait a minute, the Bible says this. And everybody just attacks you because you're just trying to say, well, the Bible says so. Why don't we do it this way? And so there's truth there. And whenever you have that desire for truth, that sincerity, that sincere desire for truth, whenever we begin to learn things, we didn't have to be taught. I mean, there's things that I had never practiced growing up in church. But whenever I had the desire to seek the truth, I would read things in the Bible, not really understanding them. But then when I saw someone actually doing it, it was just a light bulb went off. And it's, that is right. That is true. This is the way it should be. And so whatever my practice had been before, when that light bulb connected with my confusion about what to do, it just lined up just simple as all get out. There was no great traumatic, oh, I've got to do this or I don't want to do that. It wasn't fighting it. I wanted the truth. So when I found people that were putting into practice more truth than I had, I wanted to be like them. I wanted to do what they were doing. Not fight against it and just wait and wait and wait and not understand. When you're looking for truth, when you see it, you know it's there. You might not be ready to go for it. You might not be ready to accept it. But you see it and you know it's right. And you keep pursuing it until you do yield to it and give up to it. There's people that come to church. And they want to have fellowship. They appreciate what we're doing. They appreciate what they see. But they just fight against some of the things, some of the teachings. What we're trying to do is just to maintain these simple teachings of the New Testament church. These simple teachings that you can go back into history and see how the apostles, see how those that were taught by the apostles, see how those that were taught by the apostles, taught disciples, practiced, and then it kind of gets fuzzy from there in some cases, but you can still see that thread of this simple practice of just maintaining these simple things on the outside. We can't look in the inside. We can't see hearts whenever someone just starts the first time we meet them. Sometimes that becomes manifest a little bit later. But for the most part, we're trying to just accept people that are willing to live within these New Testament guidelines. Because we're a New Testament church. To try to change that, to try to make we're going to make some adaption here. You know, this is what it says. This is the practice. But you don't agree with me, so we're going to make a big exception here and just go ahead and let someone in that maybe doesn't dress modestly. A woman. That's an easy one we can see. They don't wear the covering. So, it's been the practice all through history. We can go back to the very disciples where they taught it. It's written right here in the Bible. But because you don't quite understand it or agree, we're just going to kind of let that one slide and just go ahead and take you on in without doing that one. You don't have the church anymore. Now, instead of having history to support us, instead of having the Bible to support us, instead of having truth to support us, we've took it upon ourselves to make our own decision to what we're going to accept as the church or not accept as the church. We've decided we're going to throw away everything that's in the past. We're going to throw away the Bible. And now I am the one deciding what the church is. How arrogant is that? What are you doing to all the people who lived and died and suffered to maintain what we have and just throw it out the window because somebody doesn't agree with it or because someone seemingly very sincere decides they don't want to do it? And they seem sincere. They seem really like they're sincere. They just won't do what's right. And so we'll just go ahead and take them in anyway. Oh, they're so nice and they're so kind and they do so many good things. They just don't want to do what history and what the Bible and what God has said is the church. So we'll just go ahead and take them in anyway. What have I done then? What have we done? We've just thrown away everything that's been behind us just because my feelings or my emotions don't want to see someone who won't walk in the truth adhere to it. And so I make an exception. I've taken it on myself to throw all of it away. And now I'm the one who decides what the church is. It's not my church. It's the Lord's church. And it's been handed down painstakingly, preciously, hard fought for all these years to be maintained the way it is. And now I'm going to throw it out on a whim. One of the things that we decided when we started here, when we began meeting together as a body, we had been searched for churches all over. We've been to churches and we heard that it doesn't mean what it says. Just so you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you're saved. And you're a part of the church. It doesn't matter whether you obey. In fact, if you obey, you're accursed. We heard that. And we thought, well, it says it. Why doesn't someone do it? We began searching, kept searching, and finally began to find people. Well, this group will keep this one. but they don't do this. This group will do this, but they don't do that. And so we searched and searched and searched, and we found more and more groups. And then we found some groups that were keeping the basic tenets of all of this. And we were just so glad to find someone that's actually keeping these basic teachings of the apostles and the early church and the Bible. We're so glad to do it. But they said, well, yeah, we keep them, but we also have a few little special things of our own that we keep too, that you can't be a member of unless you're doing them the way we say, plus this. Well, at least they were doing this. It's such a blessing just to find someone at least doing this. So, okay, well, we'll kind of go along with that. We'll do a few extra things. It isn't going to hurt me to change a little bit of the way I dress or what I drive. It's not going to hurt me. I can do it. But there's something that comes with that that's very deceitful. It looks good on the outside, but then here's where you get into the heart of things. It's fake. It's a man's creation. And pretty soon you're following after man's ideas, man's traditions, instead of hearing truth. And it kind of begins to drown out the voice that's led us this far to truth. It just begins to get cloudy. And now you begin to wonder, well, what's man's idea and what's God's idea? And the people that are saying man's ideas are saying, God told us to do it this way. So if you don't listen to me, you're not listening to God. And it just gets all muddled up. But it's still not the truth. Walking in the truth is not leaving stuff off, and it's not adding things to it. It's walking in the truth. And that's been our endeavor. We've been to places where the Bible talks about it of itself. It's woe unto them that add to or take away from. It's easy to see the ones that have taken away from. It's just easy to see. They're not doing it. It's plain as day. But then the ones that are doing it, it's hard because, oh, this is nice. They're kind people. They're good people. They're doing it. But they're also adding to. The curse is just as big to those that it is that those that are leaving off of, that are not doing. So our goal, our desire is to simply, if it says it, we want to at least have the outside framework of this is what the church is. Because this is what has passed as the church. Sure, there's bad things can come in it. There's good things can come in it. The problem is whenever you get everything all boxed up into a little, get it all nailed down, you can't move anymore. The church is a living thing. And by living, I don't mean we can just add to it and do whatever we want to with it. It's alive. And when you try to take all the air out of it by taking things away from it or just put it in a little box, it'll die. You still have the framework, but there's no life in it. So a living thing is made up of good bacteria, bad bacteria, and it all works together. And it has to have the good bacteria strong enough to fight off the bad. But the bad is there. It's here. We're in the world still. We're just trying to live within this basic teachings of the New Testament church. And bad will come in. There'll be bad get in it. It's always happened. Paul warned about it. Grievous wolves will come in and try to destroy. It's there. It's going to happen. We can't build a wall to keep those things from happening. That's as natural as it comes to something that's living. Right and good and life is going to be attacked in this world. And when we try to build a little something that is above attack, we don't have anything. We don't have good and right anymore. Any element in this world of someone seeking truth and right is under attack in this world. Whether it's in the spiritual realm, the political realm, the business realm, whatever it is, whatever realm we live in, good is under attack. And that's the evidence that it's trying to do good. There's something good in it. When we have the church, we have these basic, this basic elements of the New Testament church that are time-tested, proven through history, that they will work if you just stay in it. But everyone is coming along trying, well, let's just take this one out. Let's take that one out. We don't need this one anymore, do we? Let's just get rid of it. Let's take it out. Why don't we make an exception for them? They're such nice people. And then, on the other hand, you have some, well, boy, there's some evil out there in the world. There's deceitful people. Let's just start tweaking it on the other end, making it a little tighter, making it a little harder to get in so we can keep all of them out. It's the same thing. He who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If we will just do that ourselves, what's most amazing to me is just trying to stay in this simple little practices and accept people who are practicing it, who are not trying to add to it or take away from it, and accept people who just, it just seems real broad, just say, here, look how simple this is. These five or six little things, or seven or eight little simple things that the Bible teaches that we can do, and we'll just maintain this. And how broad and how open that makes things. And how isolated that has made us. People, oh, you're too strict. You're trying to keep a few little things. And on the other hand, oh, you've got to have your own set of rules. You've got to have your own guidelines. You've got to have everything all fixed up on the outside, or we can't be a part of you. And how isolating it is just to try to walk in this little realm of truth. We're not perfect. And we don't have every area of this covered. We don't have every area of this all fine-toothed down. But when you walk in truth, when you walk in light, darkness will avoid it. They'll try to destroy it, and they'll stay away from it. He who abides, the one who teaches, who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And that's all we're trying to do, and that's what the church is. We're just trying to be at one with the Father and the Son. That's the goal of the church. And it will be at odds with the world. But our goal, personally and individually and as a body, is just to be doing the will of God. Jesus said, "The world will know you because of your love one for another." Your love one for another. Does that mean we get along all the time? No. Does that mean there isn't some knuckleheads once in a while doing something silly that we got to put up with? No. But when we love each other, just like brothers and sisters in a family, living within this realm of the New Testament. That's what he said it was. We try to make it so much more difficult than what it is. It's not up to us to change this realm to see who wants to be a part of it. It's up to us to walk in it and maintain what has been given to us. What has been given. And live in it. And maintain it. So that when we pass something on, what we pass on gives the next person, not a free ride, but the opportunity to maintain it and walk in it himself. If we start altering it, trying to make it safe for them, it's messed up. The pattern's blown. The recipe has left salt out, or sugar, or whatever. It's not the same recipe. You're not going to get the same thing. You just hand them what we've been given. You pass the faith from faith to faith. You give them the faith. They have to take it. They have to carry it. They have to walk it. They have to carry it out. And it's their responsibility to pass it on. That's all. But we've got to maintain what we've got. And if we start letting it down, we're not giving them what we got. Ananias and Sapphira said they was going to give everything. And they held back a little piece. What if God looks at us with the church and say, well, here's what I gave them. They took two or three things out, kept it back for themselves, and passed it on. How do you think God's going to look at that? Why didn't you just give them what you had? Why didn't you give them what you received? Why didn't you give them what's been given throughout history? We had to undo all of a lot of things to get to this. We had to tear out a bunch of stuff. We had to unlearn a lot of things just to get to this simple little place we are. Just to get back to this very basic church. New Testament church. And then we go back in history and we find the very first Anabaptist that everyone admires. That was their thing. That's all they had. You go back a few years, the Waldensians, that's all they found. You go back to the apostles and the different churches back in history, that's all they did. It wasn't this massive organization, this massive, greatly figured out thing. It looked chaotic at times, but they had life. And they had the basic teachings. And they loved them. And they did them. And they added to that basic teachings the love. See, you can have the teachings and just be as selfish as you can get. Worried about you, worried about yourself, worried about, and completely miss what the teachings are about. This greatest thing, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. The reason for the teachings, the reason for the commandments that He gave us is to love one another. And these are just guidelines and evidences that you do on the outside. But it's got to be the same. There's actually got to be love in it to make it work. Because that's what it's all about. That's why the teachings came, is to teach us to love one another. And we've taken those teachings, thrown love away, and made them cold, hard, and cruel religion. No forgiveness, no mercy. And those things are as much a part of the New Testament as anything. And when they're missing, you just as well pick and choose whichever one you want to take out. And that's what I'm talking about. Which one do you want to take out? Which one don't you like? We can't pick and choose. There's some of the things that I don't really care for. I don't like them. It's hard. It hurts. It's difficult. But this is the teachings. This is what we've said we believe. This is what we're striving for. To be at one with the Father and the Son. And that's what the church is. And if I go to pick and choosing, I'm setting myself up as the one writing the rules. I might as well call myself God. And that's what happens. And we begin to believe it after a while. And we get arrogant and proud and nobody else matters. Well, that's what we believe the church is. It's a blessing to be a part of it. May the Lord add His blessings to it, to us, and His grace and mercy and peace be upon us. Anyone have anything?
Thank you for that clarification on the what passing it on is. I mean, it just makes it so clear. Oh, it's too simple, it seems, but it's wow. So it's a matter of making it possible. It's our teaching and our example make it possible for the next generation to be able to walk in. There it is.
To take it up themselves.
Yeah.
Gives them the opportunity to take it up themselves.
And you know, the other thing would be trying to make it safe for them and polluting it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that having it ourselves makes, I mean, it's a huge responsibility to simply pass it on. Because it has to be real enough for me that I'm consistent enough about my example,
mm-hmm.
my teaching, training,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the point where our children
have something to take pass on.
Yeah, they're ready to decide for themselves.
Right.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Something I thought about is that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the portion that talks about the man of sin for setting himself up in the temple of God as God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we often think of that, or I do, in relation to the Pentecostal type of experience settings where God told me this, or I'm moved by God, and so
right.
But in light of what you brought out today, that spirit can be without that.
Right.
That anyone that's saying this doesn't matter, but we'll do this, or that doesn't matter, but we'll do this, is essentially doing that very same thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And holding to the what was passed down from the beginning, even though, and when someone really would just like not to do just one part of it, where it's not that we don't love them, you know,
yeah,
that we're not just throwing everything out the window just so that they can be a part.
Right.
That would just, we'd just be giving them nothing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, you're not. You got to love God first. That's why we maintain what was given. And then you love your neighbor by passing them what was maintained. Not, and that's just another aspect of that. We think we're loving them because we're letting them in. And just trying to maintain those basic things is loving them. And don't always feel that way. I mean, we think of someone loving them is just jumping down their throat and telling them they're wrong. Loving them is just maintaining these simple things. Anyway, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your goodness. Help us to be faithful. Help us to love one another. Help us maintain what you've given us, Father, that we might pass it on. Pray for Jason, Father, that you would heal him according to your will. Connie, Father, those that would love to be here but cannot today, we can't thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.